When your soul is empty, when you don't have a contact with the creator of the universe, when you do not have spiritual consolation deep in your being, then you are afraid of everything. Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Good evening, dear listeners. It is 29th of September 2014. It is early fall and the weather in this region called Southwest Balkans, where southern part of Serbia and Montenegro are, usually in this time of year, it is still very warm. It is still almost summer, like they call it in United States, Indian summer. But the climate changed. We really don't know how and why. There are many solutions and opinions about it. Especially if we take a look on whole past year, we will see that the weather really drastically changed. Winter was extremely mild. There was no snow. Although here in Montenegro, snow is not very common. But in Serbia, definitely is. Especially in the mountains. But this winter, there was no snow, even on the mountains, even in ski centers. So it was really something to be taken in consideration, thinking of what is going on with climate. So then we thought, well, that's good. We sneaked out through this winter without too much heating and losing energy. And then we thought, now we are entering summer, and in comparison with this mild winter, the summer will be even more nice and warm and long. But it was not the case. In May, there were great rains, terrible, immense rains in Serbia, and big flood. Such a flood that we do not remember in closer past, such a big flood in Serbia. It was practically a disaster what happened. And it was raining without stop, and the skies were cloudy for months. So after all, there were many opinions that it is done intentionally, especially by the secret organizations in United States, since America doesn't really like too much Serbia these days, not only America, but Western Europe as well, because of certain reasons that we are not going to check them up now. But this is the fact, of course, because it is not something approximate. It is the fact, because Serbia were bombed in the 90s. So many say that it has been done by the weather warfare, as they call it, with this HAARP system and with special weapons that they can change the weather, they can change the climate above a certain region, and to make a drought or to make flood, to make incessant raining. But I don't really believe it was done intentionally exactly above Serbia, although I cannot be sure. But I think it is more like a general change of climate, which they call global warming. And this global warming is coming out of many also reasons. But one of the main reasons are really uncontrolled production of big variety of gases, that they are going into the atmosphere and clogging the skies above us. So the sun rays can go through, but the warmth cannot go up. So it is, how they call it, a greenhouse effect. So it means that the temperature degree is higher than before, and it means that especially the this everlasting ice from Arctica and Antarctica is melting, and the level of the sea is higher, and the concentration of humidity in the air because of this is also higher. So now we have more water in our environment than before. So when this water evaporates, it makes more clouds and more humidity in the atmosphere. So that's why we have more rains, more precipitation. And at the same time, winters are not that cold and harsh as they used to be. So it is really affected by the human hand, by human actions. And these actions are not really good for environment, because we want more and more material goods, everything. We want to travel more, we want to produce more, we want to eat more. We want more and more and more of everything. So that's why we have endless airplane flights above us. All kind of vehicles are running back and forth non-stop, day and night. Factories are on. And all this just because of emptiness of our soul, emptiness of our spirit. We need more to fill up our bodies, but our bodies are already so satiated, and they are not really realistically hungry, but our spirit and our soul is hungry. And out of this cause, we are filling up ourselves all the time, but we can't satiate ourselves this way, because the soul is empty. And there are many boards and bodies all over the world trying to stop all this madness in production, all these fumes and gases and smog, and all those committees and bodies and enterprises that they are trying to protect our environment. But they can do nothing because of the greediness of rich, of those who are ruling this world, and they do not care about ecological catastrophe that is in front of us. Because they don't care about planet, they don't care about humanity, they don't care about other people. What they care is just themselves, and their families and their children. And they do not think about future. So that's why it is not going to be better. All those boards and committees and bodies that are formed all over the world trying to protect the ecological system, they're all going to fail, because those who are ruling and leading this world, they don't give a damn what they're trying to accomplish. And they are going to continue with ruining the nature. So that's why we have this change of weather, change of climate. We have a lot of sick people, and this is what they want, actually. Because by their opinion, by the rulers of this world, there are too many people, too many nations on the planet, and it should be reduced so it can be sustainable. Somebody is going to say this is a conspiracy theory, but whatever it is the fact, and it goes this way. And it is all out of fear of those who rule this planet. Because when your soul is empty, when you don't have a contact with the creator of the universe, when you do not have spiritual consolation deep in your being, then you are afraid of everything. You're afraid of nature, you're afraid of other people, you're afraid of yourself. And that's why you're just grabbing and grabbing more and more to yourself. But you will never grab enough. And finally, you will drown in all these goods that you gathered around yourself. They will never satisfy your spirit, because spiritual food is something completely different. So that's why we have this weather change. We have a lot of sicknesses because of it. We have a lot of allergies, a lot of diseases. But this is not the worst thing. The worst thing is when our soul is sick, when our soul aches. The worst thing is when our soul is hungry and empty. And then all the psychic troubles and problems are coming upon us. And then we have this tragedy of our lives. We don't know what to do with ourselves. And we go to psychiatrists. We go to psychologists. We go to all kinds of shrinks, as they call it in the United States. All kinds of quasi-physicians for the soul. All kinds of psychotherapists. And we give a lot of money to them, because we don't know what to do with our spirits and with our souls anymore. And that's why the worst thing is not when our bodies are sick, which is more and more. Now we have epidemic, pandemic, or cancer, and many other sicknesses because of these environmental changes and disorders. But far worse is this spiritual emptiness that we suffer from. And there is only one answer and only one food for our spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. Because human spirit and Holy Spirit are there to be united. And that's why the Son of God, the Son of Creator of the universe, came down to this sad earth, dusty and full of wounds and diseases, to give us the way out of this prison. And thank God we still have Christianity, original Christianity, called Orthodox Christianity. And I'm grateful to all the heavens that I have discovered it. And not only I discovered through faith, but I discovered even higher way in it. And this is monasticism. And the monasticism is a fullness of all the merits and all the gifts that Lord sends upon humanity. And that's why I started my trip towards monasteries, looking out and trying to find place where I'm going to settle, where I'm going to become a monk. So that's why after Tol Dečani and after Monastery of Zočište, I came to the Monastery of Black River, Crna Reka, and finally I arrived there. But everything was fine, only this diarrhea was squeezing me up, and after 2 days I was feeling like a dry prune. But I tried not to pay attention to it and to say to myself, well, you deserved it because you were disobedient. You didn't ask for a blessing to eat an apple. So now just suffer and it will pass away. But it didn't pass away. So it was there and it was more and more severe. So finally I didn't know what to do. And the second day, the day after when I arrived, Abbot Nikolai, he saw me the next morning and he realized that something is wrong with me, because I was so exhausted and it could be seen on my face, in my eyes. I was pretty skinny at that time anyway, but this time after this heavy diarrhea, I looked in my face even more skinny and thin. And he told me, what is going on with you, Brother Alexander? You don't feel well. Why don't you ask for help? What is going on with you? And when I explained to him what is happening, he gave me some pills for restoring the digestive tract. So finally my health started to improve, but not very fast. Only after 5 days I felt better. So Anyway, I was trying to participate in the everyday life. So I was working in the garden and in the orchard again. But this time I didn't even think about eating anything without asking for a blessing. Although the pears were so ripe and sweet and juicy. But I said to myself, no, no, you're not going to touch it. Just bring it down to the kitchen and then for the lunch you will eat as much as you want. So the environment in the monastery of Black River was different than in Toldechany. Toldechany was in valley, pretty wide, spacious valley, and the mountains were from the one side, rising up, high mountains. But here we were in the, it was a canyon, and the cliffs, mountain cliffs were all around us, rising up like to the very heavens. But it was very nice. It was a real mountain, and with all this that goes together with this kind of region, with birds, animals, beautiful forests, little creeks and small rivers. And after the my obedience, I would go a little farther through the forest and to the other valleys, and I would sit somewhere in the forest or by some little creek, and I would enjoy the beauty of the nature, and I would pray insatiably and unceasingly with my mind and my heart. And very often during those moments of delight, I would cry. But this weeping was out of immense repentance and joy. So those tears were joy-making tears, joy that mingles with sadness, but some very special, positive, healthy, sound sadness that brings together all your powers and wakes you up in some higher state of your consciousness and helps you to be conscious of higher realities of life and brings you in contact with the Lord and with His most sweet Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christos. So they were beautiful days. Altogether I stayed at the monastery of Black River 7 days. But what I have realized in the monastery is that the very brotherhood was not actually fitting to my idea how it should be in the monastery. This was one of my first lessons after the monastery in Pennsylvania, then on Mount Athos, and then after Visoki Dečani, that not every monastic community is very serious and very spiritual. Some of them are more spiritual, some of them are less. That doesn't mean that there is no spirituality, but it depends on type of people that are living there. These monks living in the monastery of Black River, at that time, it was 1993, didn't fit, and it didn't really give me an opportunity to learn more about prayer and monastic life, because they were pretty young and not very mature. In a way, they were pretty infantile, and there was a lot of laughing and joking, and they even listened to the radio in the morning. First, it was just to see what are the news. But then after the news, they didn't switch off, and then the music continued. And I just couldn't believe, is this something accidentally, or they do it every day? So, of course, they didn't do it every day, but you could see that it was not very serious atmosphere over there. But then I thought, but what was this feeling that this place is absolutely for me? When I was approaching down there from the lake, when I was approaching the monastery and all this environment, the thoughts were telling me, this place is for you. This is exactly what are you looking for. But now, this other feeling was telling me, now, you don't have to stay here. You have to go back to the monastery of Visoki Dečani. So I was pretty puzzled. What does it mean? Was this a delusion? Or there is another meaning, another message? So it was not delusion. It was really telling me that this place is for me. But not at that moment of my life. Only years after that, I understood and I have realized that this place was really for me, but not exactly in this form, but in another form, in a form of a hermitage that I have built upper in the mountain, above the monastery of Black River, and there I would live for more than 5 years, but only after full 12 years spent in cenobitic life of monastery of Visoki Dečani. At that time I couldn't grasp this picture of my future life. So I was kind of disappointed. I said to myself, well, I thought I'm going to stay here. I liked it so much. But now I realize this community is not for me. I like these guys. I like these young monks and novices. But this is not a place for me. And I remembered vividly Brotherhood of the Monastery of Visoki Dečani and the seriousness of their life over there and maturity of those young but very serious people. And I said to myself, after 1 week, I definitely made a decision. I'm going back to Monastery of Visoki Dečani and I will give up myself into the hands of Abbot Theodosia and I will inform about everything Bishop Artemia. So I felt kind of refreshed and in peace now because finally I made a decision. I will become a member of the Monastery of Visoki Dečani. So after the church service next morning, I informed about everything Abbot Nikolai and I told him that I made a decision to go back to Monastery Visoki Dečani, that we will stay always in a spiritual contact, but I have to go back. So he gave me his blessing and I took some few sandwiches for the trip and I bid farewell to everybody. I took my little bag and I was thinking how I'm going to go back to Visoki Dečani since there was this great problem with buses and traffic in general. So they told me that maybe it would be much better if I take a bus to Montenegro to mountains of Kula, right next to the town of Rožaj. And then instead of continuing towards Montenegro and capital of Podgorica, to make a detour to the left and through these mountains of Kula to go down into the valley of Metohija, where Monastery of Visoki Dečani was. So I thought it's a better way to get there, and they couldn't give me a ride, so I was walking back. But I felt so exhausted because of this diarrhea. So I was walking slowly, and my body was so weak, but I was full of joy, and my heart was leaping out of joy, secret happiness, and of a prayer that I was in it through my walk down the mountain. So I remember there was a book about a pilgrim in Russia who was learning how to practice Jesus prayer. It's called The Sayings of the Pilgrim. And I remember how he was walking through the vast land of Russia from one monastery to another with just a small bag with some water and dry bread, maybe a piece of very hard cheese, and going miles and miles with the prayer of his mind in his heart, being such a delighted and full of joy out of this beautiful little prayer that brings great happiness and joy and delight from the Creator of the universe. And in a similar way, I was walking down the mountain, praying in myself and rejoicing all the way down. My body was weak, but my spirit was stronger as it was ever in my life. So at last I reached the village in the foot of the mountain called Ribarići, and there I stopped by the highway, and there was no an actual bus station, but it was a stop, a spot where a bus would stop and pick up if there are any passengers. So after half an hour, there arrived the bus, again absolutely full, but somehow I managed to get in. And it was about an hour ride to town of Rožaj, and there I got off because the bus was continuing further into the Montenegro towards seaside. So it was around noon, and I realized it is also almost pure Muslim town and Muslim region, like the Ribarići was, and I was aware that it was not that safe, but of course, I thought everything will be okay. After all, I am some kind of priest. They will appreciate that. They will have understanding for my position, and they will be polite. That's what I believed. So I went to the a regular bus station that was in the suburbs of the town, although the town was not that big. So I went there and asked for a bus ticket towards Metohija. And they told me, oh, you're not going to get this bus because they are not circulating this way. And I said, how I'm going to get there? What do you suggest? They said, maybe you should wait for buses from Montenegro. They're going to Metohija. And, well, you have a waiting room, so you just sit and wait. I said, well, if this is the way, I'll do it. So I was waiting for more than 45 minutes, and then I realized no buses. And the lady from the counter told me, well, sir, maybe there will be not any buses from Montenegro today. So I didn't know what to do, and I told myself, maybe I will go a little bit out of the town, by the very end of the town, urban area, and I'll start to hitchhike. Maybe I will catch somebody, and maybe somebody will give me a ride all the way down to the valley of Metohija. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. So I did it, and I found myself out of the town, and there was a crossroads where the roads were dividing towards Montenegro and towards Kosovo and Metohija. So I put my bag down and started to hitchhike. The traffic was very low, and every now and then there would be a car or a truck going back and forth, but nobody was stopping. And I was waiting and waiting and holding my fist with a thumb in the direction where I wanted to go. But slowly I entered already the afternoon, and the evening was approaching, and although it was yet afternoon, but I didn't know what to do anymore. And already a few times, maybe even more, from the windows of those cars and trucks, I saw eyes, those people looking at me, kind of stunned. What I'm doing there, a Serbian priest with a beard in this Muslim region, and those looks were not friendly at all. I noticed that, and it was not illusion, it was for real. So it was already about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I understood it was not that clever anymore and recommendable to stay there. So I thought myself, Well, I'll go back to the bus station and see if there is another bus. If not, I have to make a decision what to do next. So I went back to bus station, but unfortunately, no buses. And finally, I didn't know what to do anymore. No buses to Montenegro, no buses back to Serbia. I didn't know what to do. So I thought to myself, maybe I'll go into the town and maybe find some cheap hotel and get a room and stay there overnight. So hopefully that tomorrow I will get some bus in any direction just to leave this place. So when I entered the town, I saw it is a absolutely Muslim town with mosques and people traditionally dressed in a way very primitive. People were going walking through the streets, through the middle of the streets. The stores were all open and sellers were sitting in chairs out of the doors of their stores. And it looked like maybe it was in the same way in 19th century. And as I was walking through the main street, to the middle of main street, everybody was looking at me. So I didn't feel pleasant at all and comfortable. So as I was walking, there was a bigger and bigger tension about all those people that were looking at me. And as I was exactly in the middle of this town, small town, all of a sudden I saw behind myself that there was a certain group of young people, teenagers, were gathering more and more and walking behind me, just following me. And they were not friendly absolutely at all. And not only that, but they starting to say curses and to tease me and to insult me more and more. And I understood it is a very, very critical situation that I somehow dropped in and I didn't know what to do. And this group was, these teenagers were gathering more and more behind me. And after a while, I have realized that there is about 15 of them behind me. And now they were becoming more and more absolutely wild, enraged. And they were cursing more and more my nationality and my faith and my outlook as a Serbian priest. And it became really extremely unpleasant and I must say extremely dangerous, because now I was expecting every moment a hit in my back or in my head. In the meantime, they were starting to throw little stones on me, little pieces of stone. Not big stones, but little pieces of stone that they were picking up from the street. And they were also throwing a dust on me from behind and spitting on me from behind. And at the same time, I was so astonished what is happening. I couldn't believe that the street was full of passersby and all those sellers from the stores. And they were all watching this as some kind of a circus or whatever. And not even that, but we passed by a police station and there were three policemen standing in front and watching this, and they didn't move. They didn't make any gesture of being aware that I'm in a great danger of my life, that my life was in great danger. So I was all wet from cold sweat and I was really afraid. And to be afraid, it is a small word. I was really my heart was beating and I was kind of losing peace of my mind. So I was, in the beginning I was praying, but now I couldn't pray anymore. I was so disturbed and I was just walking, and finally I came into this kind of situation that any moment I thought now the lynch will start and that most likely I will be either dead or deadly beaten. Then I tried to gather my strength again. And I started to pray. My back, my head, the back of my head and of my shoulders were all wet from the saliva and dirty from the dust, which started to mingle, mix with saliva and to build up a coat of mud on my monastic robe. And my heart was beating, but then I started to pray again. I tried to consolidate my powers and start to pray. I thought, now I cannot stop praying. Only prayer will save me. And then, as I started to pray, I entered some kind of a square. And in the middle of the square, there was a taxi station. And I said, maybe this is the solution for me. I will go take a cab and go anywhere just to escape this this mob, this mad mob behind me, that they were waiting for a moment when they're going to lynch me and nobody will save me. So I approached one of those cars. It was a Russian car, Lada, red one. But unfortunately, there was no... So I opened the back door, but there was no driver, but the doors were unlocked. So I opened it and I went in, everything very fast and nervous. So I slammed the door behind me, but I didn't know what to do now, because maybe this was the best opportunity for them now to come slowly, circle around the car, to take me out slowly and then to do whatever they want. So I said to myself, now this is the end. Now they're going to do whatever they want with me. But at the same moment, the driver appeared, all of a sudden, from nowhere. He came in, he started the engine, and he moved the car. And he said, where to, mister? I said, anywhere, sir, just out of this madness. And he said, well, don't worry, don't be afraid, they're just children. I said, maybe, but they were so dangerous that I thought they're going to kill me. No, no, don't worry. They're just a little bit upset because of the war, which is not far away from here. You must understand, these are the, from the other side of the border, they're blood and faith brothers. So they're very tense about the whole thing. I said, well, it looks like they don't like priests, Serbian Christian priests any much. And they said, what can you do, sir? This is the life, this is the world where we live in. So I said, well, my destination is, as a matter of fact, not that close. I want to go to Metohija, to the city of Pech. He said, no problem, I'll drive you there for $100. I said, whatever, just take me there. So finally, with God's help, I managed to escape this disgusting city and these disgusting young men who were everything but not humans. They were more like animals. Bloodthirsty animals. It was terrible. But not only them. I remember well the looks of those people that they were sitting and standing and watching the whole scene. And they were expecting something to happen and just to enjoy the sight. And I remember those three policemen. And they were always looking what's going to happen and not to move even their small finger. And for my whole life, I will remember this town of Rožaj with a extremely primitive and terrible people. God give them all the best, but God helped me not to go there anymore in my life. It was not that much fear, but some kind of deep disgust, deep disappointment in humans, in this kind of humans. They were not humans at all. But what can we do? That was the time of the war, and in the war, a man becomes animal. And certainly, I don't want to say that only Muslims were this way. All those nations and faiths that they were participating in this terrible war, and every war is terrible, Serbs and Muslims and Croats, they all became like animals, slaying each other and drinking blood of the fellow men. But thank God I managed to save myself, to escape this town, and now we were riding through this mountain region, which was also extremely beautiful, and it happened that this driver was Muslim, of course, but he was studying law, and he was a lawyer, as a matter of fact. He studied law in Belgrade, and when he came back in the midst of this terrible time, wartime, there was no job for him, so he was working as a cab driver. So he was a pretty civilized man, and when I restored my powers a little bit, and when I recovered my peace of mind and heart, we entered a pretty pleasant discussion about many things, about life and about political situation. So I learned a lot about local problems. And so finally, we crossed the border of Montenegro and Serbia, and we entered Metohija. We came down from the mountains and entered the valley. But when we approached the town of Peć, which is something like, let's say, something about 20 kilometers from the village of Dečani. He said, well, sir, I cannot go further from this point. I have to go back. But not only that, he didn't even want to enter the town. And he stopped in the suburb of the town. I have to leave you here and I now have to go back. I must go back. And he looked very disturbed. I didn't know what's going on with this man all of a sudden, what happened. But then later on, I realized that he didn't want to be seen driving a Serbian priest, because most likely he was driving more often from Rožaje, the city of Peć, and most probably he was known there by some of those Albanians, Koromazans as well. And since he didn't want to be seen together with Serbian priest, he asked me to go out before we entered the town of Peć. So I paid him. It was pretty expensive, but what could I do? I had to save my life. And so now I had to walk a lot through the suburbs and into the city, and all the way down where bus station was. The situation in town of Peć was kind of neutral. There was no bad looks from Albanians. I couldn't detect an open hostility. Everything was kind of dull. You could see and you could feel in the air that everything was so tense, full of tension. At that time, there was a ruler of Serbia, was Slobodan Milošević, who lately was imprisoned in Hague, and he died over there. This person was maybe the worst ruler of Serbian nation ever. He did such a great waste to Serbian name and to Serbian nation that never happened in Serbian history, something like this before. And now he introduced a police, he introduced very strong police control, because you could feel in the air that the war is preparing and something bad is going to happen. But of course, it was not yet that bad. But police were there, and the Albanians were suppressed at that time. So it was not a good situation at all. I could feel that. And the Albanians at that time, they were kind of afraid to show open hostility and enmity. But you could feel that they are enemies to Serbs. And they thought, and they were sure that Serbs were enemies to them. But I was trying to believe that the war is not going to happen in Kosovo and Metohija. I strongly believe that this craziness, this madness, are not going to spread and continue from Croatia and from Bosnia and Herzegovina to Kosovo. I thought they are going to realize that the war is not good to anybody. But unfortunately, I was wrong. So I didn't know what to do, because there was no bus in the recent term from Peć to Dečani. So I went by walk all the way through the town from one end to the other. And there I started to hitchhike again. And then finally there was a big old Mercedes-Benz stopped and picked me up. So it happened to be a Serb, and he told me, "Father, where do you go?" I said, "Well, thanks for picking me up. I'm going to Monastery Visoki Dečani." He said, "Oh, good. I'm going all the way to the prison, as a matter of fact, but it's on our way." I said, "Well, thanks a lot. Let's go." And he was a citizen of Peć, and we were talking about political situation, and he was telling me that the whole situation is very bad, that the it's becoming extremely unpleasant for Serbs to live there, that Albanians are gathering more and more into some kind of clans, and that you could feel that something bad will happen. And after all, he said, "But there are still, there is a big community, there is a big number of Serbs in this region, and if anything happens, it will be extremely bloody, and it will be not less than in Bosnia. But God help us, this doesn't happen here." This man looked kind of reasonable, and he was not waiting for the war. He was not for the war. He was against the war. But he said, "Nobody asks." He said, "I was born here, and I would like to continue to live here together with Albanians. Actually, my family has a lot of good friends in Albanian families, and we are all mingled here in the town of Peć. You know, there is no a specific Albanian part or Serbian part. We live all together. And although it was not perfect in the past, but it was good enough to live. And myself," he said, "I have Albanian friends, and many of them are really very nice people." So he concluded, "I believe there is not going to be something bad such as in Bosnia, it was in Croatia." So finally we approached Monastery Visoki Dečani, and he was so kind, so he drove me all the way to the monastery's gate. And I said, I asked him if I own something to him. He said, no, nothing, Father. It was my pleasure. So I wish you all the best and goodbye. So I respond, same to you. And he left. Finally, I found myself again in front of the holy monastery of Visoki Dečani. The gate was open and I entered the yard again. And then, under the terrace, I saw a group of monks sitting and working something. So when I came closer, they saw me and they showed me a sign with their hands to, like they were greeting me and they were calling me to join them. So when I went there, I have realized that they were peeling up the baked peppers, preparing a special kind of salad that we make in Serbia called ajvar. First we bake peppers, then when they are baked enough, we peel them off, and then we are cutting them, and then we are cooking them, actually, boiling them together with oil and mixing with big wooden spoons. They were doing this in a big pots. It was a big kettle, cauldron, with a fire underneath. And it was all boiling, and one monk was mixing it with a big wooden spoon, and others were peeling peppers. So they were all sitting on small wooden chairs, and one of them was reading something. I think it was some kind of Life of the Saints or something from the Holy Fathers. It was so cozy, it was so nice. There were about 10 of them working and preparing this for the winter, because after this boiling of baked peppers, they would fill jars with it and put them into the storage. So especially during the Lenten periods, when we do not eat animal food, this ajvar is a great source of energy. So after the whole terrible event that I went through in the town of Rožaj, and this driving and walking through the whole town of Peć, and finally arriving in the monastery, I was sick and tired of everything, but also absolutely satisfied and happy that I reached alive and sound the monastery of Dečani, and that I found myself finally among people, among monks, that they will become, they shall become my brothers in Christ. And finally, they asked me, one of them, Father Paisia, told me, so finally you came. I said, well, Father, I came. And he said, are you going to stay with us? I said, yes, Father. Finally, I'm not going anywhere anymore. I'm staying with us. And he said, thank God. Here, take a pepper and work with us. So I took this pepper in my hand, started to peel them, and finally, at last, I relaxed. I relaxed, and I continued with peeling these peppers and listening to the story of Life of the Saints. But brothers were very polite, and they understood that I was very tired, and in a short, I told them what happened to me and how I managed to escape almost close death. So they told me, okay, Brother Alexander, don't have to bother with these peppers anymore. Go up, take a shower. You're all dusty and muddy on your back. What happened to you? I said, well, one day I will tell you in detail what happened to me. So I went up, I took a shower, and I went in bed to have a rest. It was, I think, late afternoon, and I just laid a little bit in bed to recover my strength. So I slept for maybe half an hour, and then there was a sound for calling for evening service, vespers. So I, since I had only one cassock, monastic robe on myself, I asked for a second-hand one from somebody of the brothers, because this one was absolutely dirty and full of saliva. It was so terribly muddy from the back. So I gave this to be washed, and I dressed, I put on another one, went to the church, stayed there for an hour through the church service, enjoying the singing again. And then after the dinner, I went to the office and asked for permission to be received from the abbot, Theodosia. Abbot was informed that I arrived from monastery of Black River. So when he received me, I kissed his hand, received his blessing, and I told him, Father Abbot, I came finally to your monastery, and with your permission, I have decided to stay here and to become a member of your monastery. Please, if you want, I ask you to receive me as a member of your brotherhood, and I give you my word, and I promise in front of the Lord that I will try to give my best and to show obedience and to become a good novice. And he told me, Brother Alexander, you're received. Be welcome in the monastery of Visoki Dečani. So I kissed his hand again, and we hugged each other. We kissed each other in a monastic way, although we do not kiss exactly. We just put cheek to cheek 3 times. And then, finally, he told me, Brother Alexander, now I, as an abbot, I received you. But now we have to settle this down together with Bishop Artemie. But now you don't have to go to prison anymore. You don't have to go after him. He will come here sooner or later, and then we will talk. Until then, you are the member of our monastery. Welcome, and you can now go to your room. At last, I found my home. At last, I found brothers, home, and the place where I'm going to spend next 12 years. I was peaceful, I was full of joy, and some quiet happiness. Lord Jesus Christ, only you know my heart. Only you know the deep longing of my heart for your love, and how much I appreciated everything that you did for my life, especially in New York City, how I discovered Orthodox faith, and how I made a decision to become a monastic, to become a monk. So after all, I was 31 years old, not young anymore, not old, but ready for entering monastic life. And the whole new life was in front of me. Thank you, O Lord, for everything that you have done for me. Until the next meeting, goodbye and good night to everybody. Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amphilochia. Thank you, O Lord, for everything that you have done for me. Hallelujah.